Welcome to this audio service for the Monday of Holy Week. At some services during this Holy Week, we will be exploring the theme of the Garden of Tears. You may have begun this Holy Week yesterday by participating in one of our Palm Sunday services, and we now journey with Christ in this Passion Tide. The first verse of the hymn, The Servant King, gives us a focus for this journey. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. So we meet in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We meet in the presence of God, who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. So let us begin our journey.
There in the Garden of Tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will, but yours, he said. We may assume that this verse from the hymn The Servant King makes reference to the time Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, a place where he was betrayed and where, no doubt, he wrestled with all that was about to face him. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. Maybe we too approach this Holy Week wrestling with things in our own lives, or are aware of those known to us who are undergoing their time of trial, testing, or tears. neither are any of us immune at this present time from the scenes and reports on our television screens of many parts of the world suffering from destruction, desolation, famine, terrorism, and acts of inhumanity. I expect many of us are close to tears at times at what we see or hear. So in these short reflections during Holy Week, we journey with Jesus through his garden of tears, knowing that his heart was also torn with sorrow, and he chose to bear our burdens and that of the world. For in Christ, as St. Paul declares, God was reconciling the world to himself. In the New Testament, we have the record of a letter which the Apostle Peter sent to some early Christians in the area we know today as Turkey, or then as the Roman provinces in Asia Minor. The recipients of this letter are referred to as exiles of the dispersion, and they are urged to live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. Reading through the letter, one can see that they were being persecuted for some reason, and were being advised by Peter to always keep watch. He writes, in words we often use at Compline, "Keep alert. Your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith." And he sets the context for his letter using these words.
"For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls."
The hymn "The Royal Banners Forward Go" and the reading we've just heard from St. Peter remind us of the imagery of the cross as a tree. And it is here we begin. The Christian journey, after all, begins and ends with a tree, in a garden. The biblical account of salvation commences in the Garden of Eden, in the book of Genesis. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were there. Adam and Eve, representing fallen humanity, were tempted and expelled from the garden. From there, in the Old Testament, the chosen people endured the hardships of the isolation of the Exodus and the desolation of the wilderness of the desert, to the promised land of plenty, a land flowing with milk and honey. A beautiful city, the city of David, was created, where God could be worshipped and glorified. Civilizations of the time were known to have beautiful gardens, such as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Contentment was to be found where every household could sit under their own vine and their own fig tree. But it was not to last. Thrown out from the ruined Jerusalem, the people of the book were exiled, and by the waters of Babylon they sat down and wept when they remembered Zion. Beginning his ministry, enduring temptations in the wilderness, Jesus also journeyed to and fro from the land of Galilee to the city of Jerusalem. It was a journey which took him via a garden, where he was betrayed. but the cross and the resurrection proved that this was not to be the last resting place.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign for ever and ever.
This passage from the book of Revelation shows that the fulfillment was to be the garden city, where a tree stands astride the river in the holy city, the tree whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. And so our Holy Week journey is one in which the fall from grace, occasioned by the first Adam, is restored by the passion and resurrection of Jesus, the second Adam. A journey which, from the Garden of Eden, takes us via the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden of many plants and trees, but in many respects a garden of sorrow, a garden of tears. This is to be our journey today, not only as we meditate on the events of Holy Week, but as we contemplate and pray for the world around us now, a world where there are many tears. And so we pray together. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory for ever. As a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, your only Son was lifted up, that he might draw the whole world to himself. May we walk this day in the way of the cross, and always be ready to share its weight, declaring your love for all the world. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, for ever.
Thank you.
As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation."
Most of us are familiar with the story of Palm Sunday, of how Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on a donkey, how the crowd welcomed him by waving palm branches and acclaimed him, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But let us look again at St. Luke's version of this event, which we have just heard. Jesus journeys quietly towards Jerusalem. In fact, St. Luke never actually says that he entered the city. People spread their cloaks on the road, but in Luke, no one waves palm branches. The crowd is actually only the disciples. Only they acclaim him. The Pharisees come out, yes, but only to complain at the noise. "Teacher, order your disciples to stop," they cry. As we have noticed, the disciples shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." But no response from the city. Here and now they were given the opportunity to respond, but most did not. As Jesus moved down from the Mount of Olives, he moves near the city and weeps over it. He weeps tears of grief over Jerusalem. "If you, even you, had recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." A king rejected by the elite, ignored by the majority. A king's capital city oblivious of its salvation. Thus the servant king goes on his journey. We journey with him. But today it does not take us past a palm tree with its branches. We encounter, instead, a passion flower. In ancient tradition, a flower whose leaves were seen as the spear that pierced the side of Christ, the tendrils, the cords which bound Jesus, or the reed with which they struck him. The flower which can variously represent the nails of the crucifixion or the five wounds of Christ. The white of the flower, representing Jesus' innocence, the violet his sorrow, or our sin. So we pause at this part of our journey in the Garden of Tears, reflecting on Jesus the innocent King, rejected, hurt and taunted. A King weeping tears of grief. We pray together. True and humble King, hailed by the crowd as Messiah, grant us the faith to know you and love you, that we may be found beside you on the way to the cross, which is the path of glory. Amen.
Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me."
St. Luke's Gospel gives great prominence to the role of women throughout his Gospel. Indeed, they are key to his theme of compassion and mercy. It was women who stayed with Jesus to the end, and were the first witnesses to the events of Easter morning. All four Gospels carry an account of a visit Jesus made to a home in the village of Bethany. The account we have just heard was St. John's version of the event. St. John, St. Mark and St. Matthew report this occurring immediately prior to the events of Palm Sunday. St. John records it as the home of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Matthew and Mark record it as the house of Simon the leper. St. Luke just records it as the house of a Pharisee, and it is an event which Luke actually places very early on in his Gospel, prior, in fact, to Jesus' ministry of teaching and healing. In Luke, Mark and Matthew, the story tells of how a woman, who was a sinner, broke an expensive alabaster jar of fragrant ointment and poured it over Jesus' feet. Here is St. Luke's version. "A woman of the city, who was a sinner, stood behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." His host and the guests were scandalized, But Jesus points out that whereas they neglected to accord him the traditional courtesy of giving him some water to drink on his arrival and to wash his feet, together with the customary anointing by oil of an honoured guest, it is the woman, a sinner, who did so. She took her opportunity here and now. So, St. Luke attests, therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. In St. John's version, it is Mary of Bethany who performs the action, an action seen as a sign of the anointing, as preparation for Jesus' own burial. It is likely that the aromatic herb contained in the alabaster jar was spikenard, a wonderfully alliterative word which is suggestive of the crucifixion. In the Garden of Tears we encounter this plant, valued for its rejuvenating properties, its healing, its aroma, a plant producing a perfumed ointment so expensive and precious that only an alabaster jar could contain it. A jar worth breaking because of tears for sin, of brokenness, and for love. So let us pause again to reflect on this action which the world found so scandalous, on our brokenness, and that of the world, and of this costly act of love. And together we pray. Eternal God, in the cross of Jesus, we see the cost of our sin and the depth of your love. In humble hope and fear, may we place at his feet all that we have and all that we are, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the intercessions. With faith and love and in union with Christ, let us offer prayer before the throne of grace. Have mercy on your people for whom your Son laid down his life. Lord, graciously hear us. Bring healing and wholeness to people and nations, and have pity on those torn apart by division. Lord, graciously hear us. Strengthen all who are persecuted for your name's sake, and deliver them from evil. Lord, graciously hear us. Look in mercy on all who suffer, and hear those who cry out in pain and desolation. Lord, graciously hear us. Bring comfort to the dying and gladden their hearts with the vision of your glory. Lord, graciously hear us. Give rest to the departed and bring them with your saints to glory everlasting. Lord, graciously hear us. Let us commend the world for which Christ died to the mercy and protection of God. Lord, graciously hear us. Trusting in the compassion of God, we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. And our closing prayers. To a troubled world, peace from Christ. To a searching world, love from Christ. To a waiting world, hope from Christ. Loving God, you bring together what is scattered and mend what is broken. Bind up all our wounds and heal us in spirit, that we may be renewed as disciples of Jesus Christ, our Master and Saviour. And the blessing. May the Eternal Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, bring you by faith to his eternal life. Amen. May Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice in obedience to the Father's will, keep you steadfast as you walk with him in the way of his cross. Amen. May the Spirit, who strengthens us to suffer with Christ, that we may share his glory, set your minds on life and peace. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you as you journey with Christ in his passion, and may he grant you his wholeness, healing, and peace. Amen.